it's good to see you all. Thank you for coming again this evening. If it's your first time, you make me very, very welcome again. It's wonderful, isn't it, just to know how the Spirit of God works in orchestrating these things. And I never spoke to Pete today or this week, really, about any messages he might have or what I might be thinking about. And yet the message that the Lord has put upon my heart tonight is really just doubling down on what Pete has already said. It's exactly the same message, pretty much. Except I'm not taking it from the Apostle Paul. Pete was telling us of this man, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, who lived his life for the Lord Jesus. And here at the very, very end of his life, he says, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. I want to turn with you to the book of Exodus and to chapter 14. I'm going to think about Moses. So we're going to go right to the other end of the Bible. And we're going to show you that this is not just a matter for Christians of this day and age, but this is a matter for all people of all ages. Do they trust in the Lord? You see, the gospel that we preach tonight, this is not something invented by the Apostle Paul or invented by the followers of Jesus or other church fathers who came later and have developed it with creeds and so on. We're not following that. And I'll show you through this. We're going to see how that way back, right at the very beginning of our Old Testament, this great man Moses, he also knew in whom he believed. Just want to read one verse really here in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Exodus 14, verse 13, it says, And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, just to see the context of this, if you were to read from the previous chapter into this chapter, you would note that these people, the people of Israel, Moses as their leader, they were in a tight spot. And to all intents and purposes, death was certain. Because in front of them was the Red Sea. And to the side of them, there was a mountainous region that there was no escape through. And behind them was Pharaoh with all his mighty army. And he was coming for them. And they were at the end of a cul-de-sac. And there was no escape. And it's at this point, Moses says, Fear not. What? You could imagine the people of Israel turning to Moses. Moses, you've gone off your head. You're mad. What do you mean, fear not? Do you not see the situation we're in? By tomorrow morning, we're probably all going to be wiped out. And you're saying, fear not. Well, Moses says, fear not. He says, you just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What possessed Moses to say such a thing? How could he say such a thing? Well, we just take the words that Paul wrote, and I'm sure Moses could have said them just as well. If you had to challenge Moses, how do you know? Moses says, I know whom I've believed. That's what he would have said. I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able. I'm persuaded he's able. So you don't fear. You stand still. You see the salvation. Just see the salvation of the Lord. Now, if you'd allow me to change scripture a little bit. None of you are standing today, you see. But the message to you tonight is sit still. Sit still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want to present to you tonight the greatness of the salvation of the Lord. And I want you to see it. And you don't have to do anything. You just have to sit there. But it also tells us this, this little section here, as Pete has already said, you know, we're not just coming in here to kind of pass an evening. Because every one of us here as Christians, we are convinced that we cannot be sure of tomorrow. We cannot live our lives just expecting that day after day will roll on and until we are old. And no, we realize our eyes are opened to understand that, that life, it always hangs by a thread. And it is only by the grace of God that we are ever preserved day by day to go on through life. It's God's grace to us. We cannot take it for granted. And at any moment, our life could be over. So just like it was for these people of Israel here, they were in a situation where they were looking, to all intents and purposes, they were looking at the end. But Moses didn't think it was the end. He said, no, I'm believing in a God who will bring us through. But it just reminds us that, that there's an urgency to this. There is an urgency to it. But it also reminds us that this little point, that there's the potential for people here tonight, if you're not saved, if you don't know what Peter's been talking about, you don't know the assurance of this great Savior and what he is able to do for you, if you don't know that, you can come to know it. Amen. Right now. You don't need to wait until you go out those doors and you go back home and maybe tomorrow you think, well, I'll start to clean up my life tomorrow and I'll start to put things into place in my life to make changes. No, you don't need to do any of that. Amen. You can be saved right where you sit. Amen. Just sit still and see the salvation of the Lord. You just turn to him and you put your faith in him. And he saves. And maybe you've come in the door through the, into this little suite this evening, and there are things that are burdens to you. Maybe there are things that are burdens in the circumstances of life, but perhaps deeper, perhaps there is burdens in terms of a spiritual weight that you're just feeling. I just wish I could be rid of this weight. It's just bearing me down. Well, I would just say to you tonight, sit still and see the salvation of the Lord. You can know the wonderful release as the Lord works and he brings that and he takes it away and he brings you through. And you could go out those doors at the end of the meeting a completely different person from you came in. That's the potential of this meeting tonight. The potential that your life could be saved and changed. And you could come to know and really truly believe in the Lord. To have faith in him. You see, we don't come here tonight to ask you the question, what is your faith? That's not an important question. You might say, well, I'm this or I'm that. You know, we do a lot of work in Birmingham, and I'm quite often down in the Small Heath area of the city, and we're sharing the gospel there through literature in various ways. And oftentimes as we present it, you know, people will come and they say, no, I'm a Muslim. But then we might be up in other parts of the city and we'll be sharing this very same gospel with literature and people will say, I'm Catholic. And we can have all these labels which identify what we would say is our faith. But that's not the question. That's the wrong question to be asking. What is my faith? And the question is this, where is your faith resting? Where is your faith resting? What are you trusting in? And is that thing that you are trusting in able to save you? And as Pete has presented this evening, Christ, the Son of God, is the one that you can trust in.
Amen.
He is able to save you. And he is able to save you now, even as you sit in your seat. Stand still, or sit still. And see the salvation of the Lord. I don't know, no clocks in here. But I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. We're going to just look at this Hebrews 11, a great chapter of faith, a roll call of faith. And I just want to look down. It tells us a little bit about the life story of Moses and how that at every step of his way, you could see he trusted in God. His faith was in the Lord. And it was through all of these experiences of trusting in the Lord, that he gets to this situation that seems absolutely hopeless, and yet he's able to say, do not fear. Look to the Lord. He's able to save. You see, as Pete said about the chairs, you know, you sit down in a chair, you didn't think. Well, you do that because you've done it so often. From you were very little as a child, you jumped up on a chair and you didn't even think to look to see whether it would hold you. Well, that's, you know, the Lord Jesus tells us, doesn't it, that faith, this type of faith it has to be childlike faith. Amen. That's why those who are young, you know, they can often see in the Lord Jesus Christ and they just put their trust in him because they just accept it. And they just are saved. But as we get a bit older, you know, and we get on into life and we start to find out that, you know, people can't always be trusted and we get skeptical about things and we get a bit of a hard shell around us. And then it starts to be a bit harder for us just to trust. Just to trust. We don't want to let go and to give up the control. And we want to keep it ourselves. But in this matter, we cannot do it ourselves. Just as it was for the people of Israel in that day, there was no way they could solve that problem themselves. There was no way they were getting out of that jam with the Red Sea on one side, the mountains on the other, and Pharaoh's army on the other. There was no way themselves they could ever get out. There was only one escape, and it was to look to the Lord. To look to the Lord. We need to understand that's where we're at. But let's look at these verses. Verse 22 for 23. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. So where we're at in Exodus 14, Moses says, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. That comes in between verse 28 and verse 29. So in between verse 28 and 29, this is where Moses says this. So you can already see from verse 23, there are a number of occasions throughout his life where he has already trusted the Lord. And the Lord has proved to be faithful. And when you prove the Lord, you will see the Lord always comes through.
Yes, amen.
Maybe not always in the time frame that we look to, but he always comes through. He is a faithful God. He is an able God in all situations of life. But we're thinking this evening of this most important situation regarding our eternal salvation. He can save you there. He can save you in a whole lot of other things. But the more we trust, the more we realize, the more we know, the more it's confirmed within us, yes, I can trust him. So that as we get to Paul the Apostle at the very last of his life, he's able to say, I know whom I have believed. And so the last verse there in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. You see, God came through again. The people were saved. They were not cornered. Indeed, Pharaoh didn't just miss capturing them. Pharaoh himself was destroyed as the Lord brought them through the Red Sea. And so what a wonderful salvation Stand still and see the salvation of God. See the salvation of the Lord. I want you to just think of it in three ways. Because we have three great enemies. The people of Israel, they had a great enemy in the king of Pharaoh. The king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. He was a great enemy to them. And you see this at the two ends of the story. In verse 23, right at the very beginning of Moses' life, Pharaoh has made a commandment, all the young boys are to be slaughtered. Great fear across the land. But Moses' parents, they didn't fear. They took this little baby boy, Moses, and they hid him. It says, because they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. And maybe there were Egyptian soldiers marching past the house some days. And maybe, you know, it felt a bit dicey at times. Mm-hmm. But they weren't going to be swayed by the king's commandment. Pharaoh had great power. But that power, it was leading to death. It was leading to death. And you know, Pharaoh of Egypt, he is often seen in the Bible as a picture of the devil. And when we read earlier in Hebrews in chapter 2, we read of the devil, we read that he has the power of death. He has the power of death. But in that chapter, we read that Jesus Christ, when he went to a cross, and he died upon a cross and went into death himself voluntarily, only for that third day to rise from the dead in the power of an endless life. It says he destroyed him who had the power of death. So I want you to understand that there is an enemy who is on your track tonight. He is the devil. The devil is not the opposite of God. A lot of people maybe get that wrong perception. No, God is above all. God is above all. God is sovereign. Only God is omnipotent and all-powerful. And all-wise and all-knowing and all-present. Only God. Satan isn't God. He doesn't have that power. He's just an angel that rebelled. Nevertheless, he has a lot of power. And he's done a lot of damage in this world. Right from the very beginning, where just that little whisper, questioning the word of God, that was enough. That was enough. And it brought sin into the world. But then we read elsewhere, sometimes the devil goes about as a roaring lion. A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the devil uses all these strategies just to bring people into damnation. Peter already told us that the lake of fire is there prepared for the devil and his angels. And the devil's doing his utmost to bring as many with him as he can. And he'll do it in these two ways. Sometimes he'll just whisper. And he'll get you to question the word of God. You know, it seems a bit narrow. I don't know really if I can really trust that. Hey, God can't be a good God. Look at all the suffering in the world. Now, true, there are questions that we can discuss and talk about. But let's not allow that little whisper from Satan take us away from trusting in the fullness of who God is. He is a good God. He's a God who loves you greatly. And a God who desires your salvation. But Satan doesn't. He's a God. He's one who would just bring you down into death. And then there's times where he comes as a roaring lion. And you see the effect of that in the world. Lives destroyed. And you see sometimes these people at the traffic lights. And they're begging for money. You feel sorry for them. You think, well, what a life have they had? And Satan has got in and he's wreaked havoc with the life. And it's absolutely destroyed the life. And how pitiful it is. But you know, here, we would tell you of one who is able to save. He is able. He's able to save from the power of Satan. He's able to deliver out of death. And even those whose lives have been wrecked by sin, broken relationships, addictions, and all of it, God is able to save. Amen. Christ is able to save. Now, there may still be lingering difficulties, of course, but he's able to save. He's able to deliver. He's able to lift them out of death into eternal life. What a wonderful Savior. What a great salvation. Sit still. See the salvation of the Lord. You know, it's not only that Christ has defeated Satan when he went to the cross, but he also did something else. You see, there's another problem we have. It's not just Satan, but it's the world around us. That's what we read here in verses 24, 25, 26. We see that Moses had to make a choice. And the world would dangle in front of particularly young people, but in front of all of us, really. A life that is to be enjoyed. This Saturday will be Eurovision, I'm told. I don't know what you think, but a lot of people will be tuning in. Why? Because it's the thing to watch. Who says it's the thing to watch? Well, the world around says it's the thing to watch. It's all in the media. It's all built up. And the world says that's what to do. You know, and all these different things. Fame and fortune and money and have the right things, have the right house, have the right kind of life. Influencers and social media, and we see it all. And the world just dangles all of this in front of us. And yet again, it would just bring us into bondage. It would bring us into bondage. Now Moses, he grew up, and he could have had all of that. He grew up in the palace in Egypt. He could have had it all, but it says here, he made a choice. He chose to turn away from all of that the world offered him, and he turned to take his stand with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And to suffer with Christ. Mm-hmm. To suffer with Christ. You see, what did the world do to Christ? The one who is the Son of God, creator of this world. And yet he came in great love. And he came in order to save. And yet when he came to save, and he demonstrated his ability to save, he opened the eyes of the blind, and he raised the dead, and he healed the sick. And he showed by his might, his miracles, he is able to save. Showed his love. And yet when it was put to the people, now, will you have Christ? Will you take Christ as your king? Will you bow to him? The world said no. He said, we don't want him. We want all the things God gives us, but we don't want Christ. We don't want his son. And they nailed him to a cross outside the city. Now Christ Jesus calls you. And he says, will you come to me? And he says, if you come to me, I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you eternal life. I will bless you with salvation. But you've got to come to me. That means we need to leave the world, the city, and we need to walk out the gates. Almost following in the footsteps of Christ as he would have carried that cross through the city gates and out up the hill, beaten and bruised. A picture of shame, loss of dignity. But if we want to stand with Christ, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to take our stand with him. And that's where a lot of people, they forsake him. Because they say, yes, I love the thought of Christ. I believe he is able to do it, but you know, I'm just not willing to stand apart from the world. I'm just not willing to and the world has got us. We want to have the enjoyments, and we're going to have all that, and it's going to keep us from Christ. It's going to keep us from salvation. It's going to keep us from eternal life. Moses, he chose. Why did he choose It wasn't this that he chose to suffer. But it says that he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He could see that this salvation that God offered, it was an eternal salvation. And this is the, one of the things brought out in Hebrews 11 by a number of these different people. They were looking beyond. They were looking bigger. It's a problem that a lot of times is our view is too small, too narrow. Sometimes people charge us as Christians as being too narrow-minded. In fact, the very opposite is true. To be a Christian is to have your mind open to the eternal. You see, there's an eternal God who was there before it all began, and he created it all. But you know, he came into this world to save it, to save you and me, and in order that we could be with him in eternity. And maybe it's the other way around, that the minds of others are too narrow, because they're only thinking of themselves and this moment, this life. What's going to happen to me today, tomorrow, next week, this year, next year? And maybe you're thinking, what can God do to solve this situation in my life? Well, he is able to help, you know, he is able to solve, he is able to save. But we can't just look to God to put our life right, just so we can then go on and live it however we want. The call of Christ is, listen, if you want to come and know my blessing, you've got to be willing to come to me. Mm-hmm. To turn, as Pete said, to turn from your own ways and to come to Christ. The last problem that we have, the great enemy is Satan. The great enemy is the world. The last great enemy that we have is our own sin, our own flesh. But at the cross, Jesus Christ dealt with that issue as well. He dealt with the issue of the power of Satan. He dealt with the issue of the world. And he also deals with the issue of your own personal sin. Look at verse number 28. By faith, it says, Moses, he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood. Why did he do it? Why this strange kind of ritual? Take a lamb on the 10th day, keep it and look at it until the 14th day, slay it on the 14th day, and then take the blood and put it around the doors of your house. And then go into the house, dressed and ready, and eat a meal. Well, why all of this? It seems a bit strange. But you see, it was all a picture of what was to come. We don't have the time to get into the details of what that picture represents in its detail. But just to put it very simply like this, listen, it doesn't really matter what the ritual or what the way, it was God's way.
Yeah.
It was God's way. And Moses says, I want to do it God's way.
Yeah.
But you see, there was a really important thing here, the sprinkling of blood. God's way is ever the way of blood. It is always that. The Bible makes it very clear. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no, there is no, remission or forgiveness or putting away of sin. It can't happen without the shedding of blood. That's God's way. Do we want it God's way or do we want it our way? We've got a choice to make. Moses made his choice. He says, I'm going to take it God's way. I'm going to come to the one who died for me, the one who gave his life, the one who gave everything. And I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. And so, when he comes to this great point at the end, they're trapped. He has already experienced the might and the ability of God to save. Against the king, against the world, against sin. It's all shown there in the work of Christ. So, Moses says, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And then the Lord says, now, step forward in faith. Hold out your rod. They can't just say, I believe. The Lord's looking for you to take that step. Come to him. They had to step forward. And you see, the Lord brought them through the Red Sea. Wonderful picture of resurrection. The resurrection of Christ is that full and final emphasis that we can look to. Paul says, if Christ is not risen, our faith is empty. Vain, powerless. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. You can believe on him. There's no one else who's died for you and risen again. Only Christ. May you trust him tonight. Let's pray.